you have your Bibles now, okay, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Well, we missed being with you last week, but I understand for the most part, y'all enjoyed having a refreshing speaker here and presenting things in a little different way than I do. So that was good. So every now and then we try to do that, shake things up a little bit, okay? We want to do that. But Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to begin reading in verse 8. And before I start, I want to recognize and help you understand. Some of you have different translations than I use. I'm using the NIV. This is the beginning of a paragraph in the NIV translations. But in some other translations, it's the middle of a sentence, okay? And in a different section, different paragraph. And that's okay. Just understand that every time there's a translation of the Bible, there's interpretation that comes with whoever's in translating it. All right? You know, and they have to try and make decisions. Paul didn't write with paragraphs. He didn't write with verses. He didn't write with chapter headings. Okay? So whenever people come and they're trying to interpret what the message of the passage is, they might see it slightly different. It doesn't change the message, the central message behind it. It just means that somebody saw a little different way that the sentences were, the structure was put together. Don't let it bother you. We talked about it. I'm going to go back. I'll talk a little bit about some of the things that are said in the previous verses. But to begin with, we're going to be here in starting in verse 8. Okay? He says, "For you were once in darkness, but now you are light." I'm sorry. Let me read that again. "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, 'Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" Let's pray. Father, I just ask that as we come to this passage, that you'll give us the understanding and the insight that we need. I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will come, dwell this place, dwell with each believer. Open our spiritual eyes that we can see all that you want to teach us. Help us to understand the truths that you've laid out here and how they apply to our lives. And Father, may we leave from this place in the light of your presence. In Christ's name, amen. Did you notice something about that passage where Paul talks? In some of your translations may have this a little different, but the reality is what he says there, he says, you were what? You were not in darkness. You were darkness. And then he says what? He says, you're now light. He's not in the light, but you are light. I found that an extremely interesting way of saying it, okay? And I hope that you can kind of get the significance of it. I want you to take just a moment and think back. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. You know, if you want to turn there, you can do that kind of look at it, but I'll do that. Genesis chapter 1. What happened in Genesis chapter 1? Yeah, it was creation. And it begins with the statement, in the beginning, what? God. Now, as you're looking at this passage, and as we look at it, we need to understand that that is the primary basis for everything that we accept and teach. In the beginning, God. And somebody has wisely said that if you can accept those first four words of the Bible, everything else is easy. You can understand everything else. If you deny that God was in the beginning, then none of it makes sense. Okay? You need to come to that point where you first of all say, yes, there is a God. He existed beforehand. And everything that is flowed from him. Listen to what Paul, what it says here. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. There's that word, darkness. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And then verse 3, it says, and God said what? Let there be light. And what happened? There was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. Now, I want to call your attention to something. Did God create the sun at that time? Did he create the moon? No. He created light. There was light. You don't find the creation of the sun and the moon until verse 14 or so? On the fourth day. So on the first day, he creates light. Okay? He creates light. And it comes from his specific being. And I tell you that because I think it's important when we understand what Paul is trying to communicate here about light and darkness. I got to get the page turned. Come on. Somewhere back here, I'll get this. Back here in Ephesians, you know, it's nice to have a Bible. You know, I get frustrated turning these pages, I'll just tell you. So, anyway. But he says, for you were once darkness. And then I think that one of the things that we need to understand is that before God comes into our life, we are darkness. Just like the earth was dark, it was filled with emptiness, it was nothing, and it was contained. But when God came into the picture, God said, let there be light. From his very being, light came. He didn't create a sun to make light, he created light, and it was there because it came from who he is. Jesus said it in a way. He says, I am the light of the world in John, in the Gospel of John. Over repeatedly, he emphasizes in John that Jesus is the light of the world. He is light. He brings into the darkness his very being, his essence, his character, and it shines light in a dark world. He shines light in our darkened lives. He shines light in everything that's around us. It's important to get that concept as we look at what Paul is trying to tell the Ephesians here. That we understand that God is light. We were in darkness. We weren't in just in darkness. We were darkness. Just like when the heavens and the earth began, there was darkness. I find that imagery so interesting. Too. And whenever I think about it, you remember Moses' encounter? If you look it up, it's in Exodus chapters 33, 34. But you remember Moses' encounter with God on Mount Sinai? That Moses had been called by God to come up to the mountain, receive the Ten Commandments, receive the law and the instructions that he had for the Israelites. So Moses packed up his bags, he moved up there, and he spent some time with God up on the mountain. And he asked God, he says, can I see your face? And God says, no, you can't look on my face. He says, but I'll put you in this nook, in this cranny over here. I'll cover you with my hand. And as my glory passes by, as my presence passes by, you can see the rest of me. You can see me, okay? Just not my face. And God takes him, puts him there on the shelf. And God walks by, and his glory, and his presence passes by. And Moses sees that. And it changes him. You know what happened to Moses? Do you remember the rest of that? He walked down the mountain. He came into the camp of the Israelites. And what did they say? Whoa, Moses! What happened to you? What happened to you? You need to put something over your face because we can't look upon the light of God as it shines through you. Now, this is a paraphrase, okay? But the light of God passing through you as it shines and radiates out towards us. You see, being in the very presence of God, his light comes into our lives and it illumines us and those around us as we allow God's light to shine in our lives. And Paul now comes back and he says to these people, he says, you were darkness. Now, to help you understand the context of this, he was writing to the Ephesians. The Ephesians were an Asian church, okay, if you want to kind of talk about the geography. Rome had conquered. There was Rome, Italy over here. There was Greece, and then there was Asia, okay, at this point. Ephesians was in an area, what we call modern-day Turkey. And Paul had been there in that church. He'd ministered to them. He was writing to them now. But here they were. The Romans had come through, and they had conquered them. And they had their gods. You all know the Greek mythology and the kind of the correlation of the deities that they worshipped and stuff. But there were a whole lot of other gods in the various lands. And in this area of Ephesus and throughout this area, there were a lot of gods that were worshipped. There were cults that had developed and come up. And the Romans criticized those cults. And some of those cults had the practice of doing their ceremonies at night in the darkness. And part of this idea was Paul was making a contrast. He says, that was the life you came from. You worshipped in the darkness. You were darkness. You embraced that ideology. He says, but now God has come into your life, and you are light. And he's trying to say the Romans here condemn this cultic worship. And they're seeing that you as Christians are part of a cult. And we need to separate ourselves from that. We can't let the world, we can't let the Romans, we can't let the other governments misunderstand that we stand for light. That we are part of the light, which is truth and goodness and righteousness. Paul was making a very subtle statement to them to help them understand the difference between the life that they used to live in the world as part of the world and the life that Christ had invited them to. I have to ask you, do we still carry around the darkness with us? In the world around us today, do people look, would they say we were darkness or we were light? Because that's what Paul is wanting them to understand. You're not part of the darkness. You're not part of what you used to be. God has made a change in your life, and you are now light in this world. Amen. That's right. We are light. And Paul says, and he goes on then, and he says, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Paul's making a very simple observation. Think about the benefits of the light. Okay? There are many things about it. That scripture tells us over and over again. It says, he talks about us being a light, and he says, who puts a lamp or a candle, and sticks it under a bushel? Jesus taught us that, okay? And he says, why would somebody do that? You don't do that. He says, you set it up high so its light shines out and everybody benefits from it, right? And this is kind of where Paul is going forward. Think about the benefits of what that light does. It provides for us that direction. David wrote in the Psalms, in Psalm 119, he says, thy word, and you guys know the song that Amy Grant made famous, thy word is a light unto my path. Okay? Thank you. A lamp unto my path and a light. No. Thy word is a light unto my feet and a... No, a lamp unto my feet. That's it. I'll get it. You know, I had this figured out before I came here today. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That's it. We got it, okay? And Danny, you think you get mixed up on your words on your songs? Okay, golly. Yeah, I can't keep it straight either. Hey, how many of you got to see Danny? He was performing at the barn the other day. So several of you got the chance to get over there. But he did a great job, and I can't figure out how he keeps all those things in his head, because I got to have every one of my words written down and every chord that I'm going to play. You know, I don't know how he can do it. Still, the reality is that Jesus says that we're a light in this world, okay? And he's trying to make that evident to us, that he wants us, or Paul wants us to understand that we have a different role. And that light is beneficial in this world. It provides for us the clarity so that we can see where we need to go. This is what the light is about. It's providing for us so that we can distinguish how the path is supposed to go. How many of you have been to the Grand Canyon Caverns. I think I've asked this before in the past, but how many of you gotten over there to the Grand Canyon Caverns? You know, how many of you ever been to any of the caverns around the United States? Some of you? You know, don't they all take you down into this cavern and they go down deep, 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 and you're under the ground and all the doors and windows are closed and then they turn out the lights, right? Yeah, what do you see? Yeah, the darkness, that's what you see, darkness. You see nothing. You can't see your hand right here because there's nothing. There's no light. And God says, I have come into your life to bring light so that now you can see. You can see your path that you need to walk. You have direction. You have clarity in what you're doing. Isn't that so neat that God provides light? Light is one of those things that does that. Without the light, think about it, we would stumble in darkness. We would trip over everything in our path. How would you ever find your way out of that cavern? You know? How would you ever get your way out? You wouldn't. I remember there at the Grand Canyon Caverns, them showing the place. You know, whenever you go into the Grand Canyon Caverns, there's a restaurant or some gift shop or something. I can't remember exactly. It's been a long time. But they have a sloth. That's in a sealed case. And the sloth is there. And they say, and the story is that they found that sloth in the cave. And apparently it had been going through the countryside. It fell in the hole that put it down into that place. And they take you down in the cavern then, and they show you where that sloth had clawed at the side of the cavern, trying to get its way out. Because of the darkness, he couldn't see. He couldn't climb his way out. Darkness is like that. It envelops us. But Jesus says, I've come to bring light in your life so you don't have to despair, so you don't have to stumble in the darkness. You know what? I was thinking, too, about light. Isn't it interesting that when you go in to the dentist, okay, or you go in and you're going to have surgery, where do they put you? Do they put you in the dark room and go in there and start digging on your teeth in the darkness? Do they go in there and I just had my teeth cleaned. It's a fresh memory, golly. And they don't take you into the surgical room and turn out all the lights and hand the doctor a scalpel and say, go to it. No, what do? They turn on the bright lights and they bring all that light. How many of you have ever taken a thorn, a splinter, one of those cholla's, those jumping cholla's that attack when you walk by? And have ever taken the thistles out of somebody? What do you do? Do you go into the closet and try to do that? No. You turn out, you get as much light as you can, and you get a magnifying glass and everything so you can see as clearly as possible, and you gather in as much as you can to see clearly what needs to be done and to make the procedure work. You know, the light is something that brings healing. It brings a place where when God, we open ourselves up to God and we allow his light to shine in our lives, he's able to bring the healing that needs to take place. He exposes our selfish motives. He exposes the infection that may exist in our life. He exposes the things that are wrong, and he shows us how to correct them because he has placed his light in us. Whenever that light of God comes to live and abide in our souls, then we're able to function and not stumble in the darkness. You know what else the light does? As Paul points out here, he talks about the fruit of the light. The fruit. Isn't that an interesting description? Now think about it. What do we need? What does the plant life need in order to produce a crop? One of the things it needs, a couple of things, but one of the things it has to have is that light. That light is what causes that. The warmth from the sun causes the seed in the soil to generate and to begin to grow. And as it comes out and the vines are exposed and the leaves absorb the light, it's able to transform and turn the nutrients into the fruit that grows on the vine. And as the light of God shines in our life, then the fruit of God's righteousness begins to grow within our hearts and within our lives. But when we shut out that light, what happens? Does that plant grow? No, it shrivels and dies. How many of you put the plant in the wrong spot in the room? And you had to find where the light was, and you had to get that plant back into the right position. Folks, one of the reasons we struggle as Christians is just because of that, because we haven't let the light shine in our lives. And we need to put ourselves where Jesus can shine his light into our hearts and into our lives. And we need to have that change. But he goes on and he says, and find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds. In other words, those that are exposed or done in the darkness, okay? But he says, rather expose them. Take the light of God in to expose those. And I think that that has a lot to do with your own life. We might be thinking it has light. Wow, we're going to go down to the red light district and shine the light there. That's not what he's talking about. He's saying, look, shine the light in your own light. Let the light shine within you. You know, I think too oftentimes what happens is we go and we receive the light of God into our own lives. And then what do we do? Start doing. How do you shut off the light? If you're the source of light, you know, how do you shut that light off? Well, if you have a flashlight, you turn the battery, the switch off, right? But if the light is shining, what do? You hang heavy curtains up over the windows, right? Okay? You build walls to keep the light outside. You seal the doors, the windows, to keep everything out. And you start building and isolate yourself. How many times do we do that in our lives? How many times, rather than allowing the light that God has placed within us to shine forth, to change and to touch a world that's lost, do we put our light, we start building the walls. We say, well, we can't have this light in this part of my life, so I'll build a wall to keep the light out of this in my life. And we have those closets, those places in our life where we will not allow the light to shine. And I think Paul's message to us today is you're not of the darkness anymore. The darkness was what you came from. It's where you used to be. God has taken us and he's replaced the darkness that was in our life, the hopelessness, the lack of clarity, the thing that caused us to stumble and fall and injure ourselves and allowed the infections to grow and kept the fruit from growing. The darkness, he says, I've taken that out of your life and I've replaced it with the light of my presence. Wake up, he says. Wake up. Let the light of Christ shine within you. It's not a foreign thought, okay? It's what Jesus taught about himself. It's what Jesus taught us about disciples, to let the light shine within our lives. So oftentimes that imagery is what's used, the lighting of a lamp. That placement of light is used to teach us that we need the light of God within our lives. But too often times we get tired of it. It shines too bright sometimes. Doesn't it? And we see things about ourselves that we say, no, God, I don't want to change that. I don't want to let go of that. That's my little dark spot. I want to keep it. Maybe God's speaking to you today. There's an old song. How many of you remember the Children of the Light? The Maranatha group, Children of the Light? Did you anybody? I'm the only one? Golly, am I really dating myself that bad? Children of the Light. And they had a song called Children of the Light. At least I think that was the title. And in the song it says, you don't try to drive the darkness out. You just turn on the light. Isn't that a neat thought? You know, if you're facing those difficulties in your life, and it may be just simply this, that you haven't turned on the light. You haven't said yes to Jesus. You haven't said, Jesus, come. Come in. Bring your light into my life. I'm stumbling. I'm falling. I keep stubbing my toes and hurting myself every time I try to turn around because I'm in the darkness. Bring your light. Change me from what I was to what you want me to be. And Jesus promised, he says, and Paul put it in this terms, he says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. We were darkness. In Christ, we are now a new creation. We are light. God wants to make light in your life, bring light into your life, and make you a light to shine in this world. Are you willing to say yes to Him? Let's pray. God, I just pray for my brothers and sisters here today. As I looked at this passage, I said yes to You myself. Because so oftentimes, God, we put up our hands and we're afraid to let Your light shine. So I pray for myself, as I pray for each one of my brothers and sisters that are here, God, that we will allow Your light to shine within this church, that we will allow Your light to shine within each of us individually, and that this community might see this church as a beacon, as a place where they can find love, acceptance, they can find redemption, God. And I pray, God, that we might simply make a choice to turn from the darkness and yes to the light.